The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
That's a little Working Class Hussies for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning in to Radio Memphis Around the World with me, D, going for a ride out of North Jersey. How about that? Awesome idea, awesome songwriter. Love, love, love the band. And, you know, we always talk about cool things here on the show. And, you know, one of the things that we always start off with when we're trying to give guys food for thought is that everything starts with a great song. And I have such a special treat for you guys today because I'm getting ready to give you the opportunity to listen to an incredible, incredible lady by the name of Judy Stocky. Now, she is leading the new age of music. She herself, she encourages artists and songwriters to define their perspective, share a powerful creative message as far as through their songwriting. She herself, she runs her own artist development company where she actually uses a very signature mythology in guiding clients towards their goals. And in addition to being a speaker and an advisor, she also happens to be the author for the Songwriter Survival Guide. Now, besides traveling the world and teaching at in-person workshops and things like that, she's even launched an acclaimed basic writing workshop online, you know, as far as a platform for everybody to kind of dive into. She's got a definitely eye for talent. You know, she herself, she's been responsible for developing and signing many of today's national acclaimed artists. You guys might know the names, including Grammy Award-winning Sheryl Crow, Katy Perry, Gavin DeGraw, Joy Williams, Michelle Branch. We're talking a very cool chick, man. She's got over 30 years experience. She was also the vice president of creative at Warner Chapel. She advises creative minds all around the world, and I couldn't think of anything better, since it's around the world, that we have her on this show. So we're going to take the opportunity. We're going to dig into Judy's mind, and she's with me right now. How are you doing, lady?
I'm doing great. I really am.
I am.
It stopped raining here in California, so I know that's weird because it hasn't been raining here in so long, but it stopped for a little bit, so it's nice out.
No, it isn't. No, then you're enjoying it and stuff like that. And see, and what was really cool is I loved your email. We don't have to wear makeup for this.
Yeah. I do so many Skype calls now, and it's great because I can be in my PJs, you know, on the bottom, but I still have to do the hair. So
right, you have to do everything from neck up, but from neck down, all bets are off. Good deal. Thank you again so much for taking time with us here on Radio Memphis. As I was telling you, you know, when we had a few minutes right before we got on air, we're an indie station. We actually, our music here, we represent the majority of the Mid-South within 400 miles of where Memphis sits. And we've got, you know, all styles, rock, pop, blues, everything. And, you know, we've done so well over the course of time, you know, for 6 years, we're in 160-plus countries. We have a lot. And so, you know, I had to start creating, you know, opportunities and stuff because we had a lot of artists and stuff outside of that 400-mile radius. And so, hence, we've got a lot of dedicated shows, you know, to music around the world. And as it turns out, you know, this is kind of it's turned into somewhat of a musician's, you know, radio station. Not only do fans enjoy the incredible music, but, you know, they come in and they want to get food for thought because everybody is, you know, you got a lot of do-it-yourselfers. You got a lot of people that's taking control of their destiny. And so for us to be able to have the opportunity to talk to someone like you is amazing, you know, because of what you've been able to do. And for those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Miss Judy Stocky. And first and foremost, there are some people that may not know who you are. And I'm just curious, you yourself, I mean, how'd you start in music? I mean, you yourself as an artist, a musician, was there an instrument? You said, I got to do this.
Well, my mother says that I came out of the womb singing and dancing.
Perfect.
So I had that fever in me. Music just drove my life. I went to USC and graduated with a degree in music. I took piano lessons and self-taught guitar, and I learned pretty much every instrument at USC. But when I graduated, I didn't know what I was going to do with it.
Oh,
at
no.
At the time, I didn't. There was no internet at the time.
Of course.
There was no. I didn't have the resources that you have today in order to do it yourself. And so I ended up getting a job in publishing, in music publishing.
Okay.
Instead of going for it myself and going to be an artist or a songwriter myself. And I got a job at Arista Music, which was run by Clive Davis and a publishing company by the late Billy Michel. And it was a dream come true. I mean,
if I couldn't
go to Broadway and be on stage, then I was listening to music every day and guiding songwriters and going to concerts at night and you know, my mother still says, "You do what for a job?" You know,
and they can't wrap their brain around the fact that that's an actual job.
Right, and then I got paid for it. You know,
how does this
you
work?
You sit in a room and you listen to somebody's music. Okay, you know? but that was the world, and I found myself in publishing, and I never left.
Wow.
Though I was tempted a few times to go into the A&R part of it, in actually making the records, but I loved being with the songwriters. I loved being at the beginning, because no matter when you start an album, you have to go back at the beginning.
Perfect.
And it's, what do I want to say this time? Where am I this time? What's going on with me?
Right.
And I loved that process. I was good at it. So I stayed there in corporate America for 30 years, and I had 20 years at Warner Chappell was the when I left, I was there. And that's where I really got into developing artists. I had been okay. developing and managing songwriters. And then at Warner Chappell, I really started getting into the artists.
Wow.
And just had a blast with that. Because when I, 35 years ago, it was you either were the songwriter for someone else or you were an artist.
Oh, okay. There so was there was one or the other.
In between. Really hardly an in-between. And I always thought, well, why not? You know. So when Sheryl Crow was, when I had signed Sheryl Crow and developed her, she had all these songs that you know she wasn't using. So I started getting them cut.
Well, sure.
You know, and it was just a little bit unheard of because most artists didn't write extra material, and she did. So
I got you.
So we started crossing over.
Is that?
And then at Warner Chappell, about 8 years ago, I left corporate America and started my own business.
Yeah, and you know, kudos to you. One question I have is, why in the hell would you not think that you yourself could do it and be
an
artist?
You know, I knew I could do it, and I know I can do it. It's just, you know, you graduate from college. I didn't have the support. I mean, I had the support of my parents, but they were going through a divorce, and, I mean, they weren't there financially for
sure.
me. I was young. I was from a very small town, Whittier, California. You know, and like I said, there was no internet. There was an Encyclopedia Britannica at the top of the stairs.
Mm.
But unless, you know, my parents knew somebody in that realm. And at SC, I just, for some reason, I didn't make those connections as far
you.
As, like, moving and cross-country and setting up shop myself. And I didn't, you know.
Right.
I was just, I didn't have the guidance. I didn't have me in my life. But I now, what's interesting is that when I left Warner Chappell 8 years ago, the first thing I did, because I set up my company, but, you know, it was like, okay, well, what am I going to do? You know?
Well,
so
now,
I started
now what?
Taking lessons, and I took two musical theater classes. I took the improv at the Groundlings. I took songwriting classes. I took acting classes. I went out and tried out for X Factor the first time it was here.
Stop it. Did you really?
I immersed myself in the student process because I was such a teacher at Warner Chappell for so many years. I was always the executive and always in that position.
Well, sure.
And I just wanted to go and learn new things. And it's interesting because no matter what modality I put myself, whether I was in the Groundlings or whether I did two voiceover classes, you still used your voice, your melodies, and your lyrics. Didn't matter what. It's just, you know, in voiceover they gave you the copy. You know, it was for something, but you still used your voice, your melody, and your lyric. And, you know, if you were acting, you could go on for, you know, pages and pages and pages.
Right.
So, but you learn, I learned, like, different techniques and different approaches, and it was fascinating. I loved it. Just loved it.
Saying you, so, I mean, and you yourself, I mean, you're still the, you're the, you know, perpetual, you know, student, and you've never stopped.
Oh, yeah. And I have a standing songwriting appointment every Tuesday night with my co-writers, and we have 10 songs that we've written, and... You know, I still take classes and I perform when I can. I mean, this is my life.
That's amazing. That's a lot to juggle. Now, earlier on, okay, so you know, you're in the corporate America world, and you find out,
okay, I've got that hat on. Yeah,
you've got that hat on, and yeah. you've got these things working out. And so early, I mean, you know, and a lot of people don't realize some of the cool, you know, some of the cool artists and stuff that you were able to help find, help sign, and you know, and help, you know, develop. You came in at a time where they were just starting, and so they were unknown at that time too.
Yeah. As I would say, is that I knew Sheryl Crow before she was Sheryl Crow.
See?
We had breakfast every morning at the same restaurant in L.A., and, you know, nobody bothered us for years.
And it was fine, and it was good, and you could talk
right.
your stuff. Well,
right.
you know, and so in the very beginning, you know, for your background and for everything that you've studied for and everything that you worked for at this point, you know, you've got this, you know, this innate hunger, you know, to really see it in somebody else. What, you know, was it faith in what you saw or as far as in that particular person, or was it something in your belly that said, I'm going to make that person?
You know, I think there's a combination of both. There has to be. I think it's first, oh, my God, she's amazing. I mean, when I met Cheryl, I hadn't even heard her music. We went to lunch. Robert Kraft, who was a producer at the time, mm-hmm. who later went and ran Fox Music, at Fox Studios.
Right.
He introduced me to her, and we had lunch. And so over lunch, I kind of fell in love because she was so interesting and funny and a great communicator and smart and could talk about anything, and it was just delightful. So then when I heard her music, it was like, oh, my God, this is just fantastic.
Wow.
I fell in love, and then, oh, my God, I want to be involved. What can I do? How can I help?
What can I be a part of, right?
What can I be a part of?
So right. So
that's where it starts. I have to, you know, it's not, if I have to go to them and say, oh, I want to make you, and as I say, they have to want it more than I do.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
I actually had to fill out some questionnaire earlier this morning, and it was, you know, what are the qualifications when you signed a writer? And it's like, well, yeah, you know, of course they have to be talented, but first, they have to want it more than I do, and second, they have to have an A-plus student attitude.
Bingo.
How far do you want me to go? How far should I go? Oh, I did extra credit today. You know,
That's it.
I want that.
That's it. That's funny because I saw on your website, you know, because you do some really cool stuff. You do like the door-to-door, you know, the
mm-hmm.
video series
yeah.
where you sit down and talk to songwriters and stuff. But you also, you know, do little snippets. And one of the first snippets that went on your website, and for those of you who have tuned in, I'm talking to Miss Judy Stocky. And you can actually go to judystocky.com if you want to see what I'm talking about. It was a really short, like 30-second bit, and it was like, there's no crying in music. Like, there's no crying
All
in
right.
baseball. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you were just like, now look.
Let me give you three pointers.
There's no crying, okay? No whining, no complaining.
Right. I think, and the other quote was, because I love that movie, League of His Own.
Yes.
League of Her Own. It was, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
So, you know, as I say, it's going to be hard. Go buy yourself an ice cream cone afterwards, okay?
Pretty baby. Honey, Pardon? It'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's not you. So you early on, I mean, like I said, you helped start really developing these artists and stuff. And you know, obviously they came with something that you knew that you can work with. And so mm-hmm. at what point when you, okay, so you get somebody like Cheryl, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I also know that you, like I said, you worked with somebody like Jewel. You've also worked with Michelle Branch. Michelle Branch yeah. is one of my favorite artists. I love following her. I am so glad to see that she's come back out.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, they have such incredible, you know, talent in their own right, you know, to where they had somewhat of a direction where they were going with their stuff. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't have been doing so well, you know, for them right off mm-hmm. the shoot. So somebody like you comes in, I mean, and what do you do when you sit down with them? And you go, okay, this is, I've laid my stuff in front of you and you know that, oh my God, we're going to work with this. What's the first thing that you do?
The first thing we do is we go through the song. I mean, they can't do anything until they have the songs. That's the first thing.
Right.
So we go through material and see what they've got. And with Cheryl, Cheryl's a great story in that, you know, she's one of the few backup singers that has made it.
Yes.
She came off the Michael Jackson tour, which was huge. And then she went on with Don Henley. And she's got perfect pitch. She can sing anything. She can play most instruments. I mean, she's a delight to be around. Everybody wanted to take her on the road. She needed to find her own sound, and that's what I provided for her was a space, a very safe space that she could come into and play anything for me and know that it was going to be okay, that I wasn't going to, you know, I wasn't going to yell at her, I wasn't going to degrade her, I was just going to point out and be a mirror for her and tell her, I really like this. She would come in with, like, these great chorus ideas, and then maybe need a little work on the verses. So at the very beginning, it was just about, okay, I like this. I'm not crazy about this. Can you work on this? And she would go and do all that stuff and literally, like, go away for a couple hours and come, what do you think about this? It was like,
wow.
Okay.
That,
and she was quick. She wanted it. And she learned very quickly. She didn't need to learn how to write songs. She was a natural songwriter. Her gift of language is unbelievable.
Wow.
She just needed a little guidance, a little like, could you do something else here? I think it's too long here. You know,
and polish
editing,
it here, okay? and you know, kind of real, right. You know, work it out on this end, and you know, and things like that.
And as soon as Cheryl got that, then she was off to the races. Right? What more? And then came in the next step was, okay, how do you guide your career? How do you navigate your career?
Which is the biggest question.
How do you go and have meetings with all these men and all these, you know, all these record companies who want to do this and this and this, and how do you stand up for what you want?
There it is.
How do you, you know, so there was a guidance in the personal, you know, it wasn't just, it was business, personal, and creative So once the creative, once she had the songs and once she was in the studio and she was making the record and so forth, then it was about, okay, you need a lawyer, you need a manager, you need a business guy, you need all these people. Let's go interview, let's go talk, let's go build your team.
Right.
So that these people are, you know, they're working for you and you have a good rapport. Well, she's still got her business manager, her manager, and her lawyer that we chose for her, you know, 30 years ago. Are still in place.
See, and that's important, and that says a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, for somebody like you, you know, you've been doing this as long as you have. You have also been a woman doing this as long as you have.
Yeah.
And before I go any further with this, okay, so this is, it's not that, it, so everybody's tuning in, it's not that campaign, okay? Before I go any further,
no.
I'm one of those, I mean, I see people, you know what I mean? I see persons, I see, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you know, you've got, you know, these tools, you've got this talent, you've got this ability and stuff like that. Oh, and by the way, you happen to be a guy. Oh, and you happen to be a lady. You know what
right.
I mean? It's a point of, as far as, you know, being able to, you know, complete the task and do what's hand. But now that all that disclaimer has been thrown out there, it's funny. The only reason why I bring this up is because, and I know you've noticed this, is that there's been a lot of talk and there's been a lot of things that have come up as far as in media and a lot of things in music industry and music business on women, you know, doing this and, you know, and doing, you know, music business, you know, as a career. You're somebody who's been doing it this entire time. And not only have you been doing it, you've been very successful. You've been working with, you've worked with some very successful companies. You work for some very successful music groups and things like that. But you, how did that work out for you as far as being a lady? You know what I mean? Was that even an issue?
No, it was never an issue for me. Now, there were issues, but it was never an issue for me in that I didn't have autonomy in the company, but there was a little bit of autonomy within my job.
Okay.
Within this huge corporation, you think of Warner Chappell, like three floors and hundreds of people and more international and so forth. Who I talked to every day were my songwriters.
Right.
I dealt with, you know, I would deal with copyright and legal when I did a deal, and all my co-writers, and if I needed to show them something. But my job was to talk to my songwriters every single day. Those were my clients.
Right.
So there was a little bit of an autonomy in that. I was dealing with all the kids. I was the first grade teacher. I was dealing with all the talent, so everybody else in the company could take those songs and take that talent and go do what they needed to do. I mean, film and television were waiting for the next Sheryl Crow album. You know,
right,
they were
right.
waiting for us. So I was the one, you know, in the creative department making all this stuff, and then everybody else had their tasks of what to do with it. So there was a little bit of that. So I didn't butt up. I didn't have to deal with a lot of it because, like I said, my clients were my songwriters, and I could care less if they were men or women.
It didn't matter.
But there was it. I mean, there definitely was a boys' club. I felt it more after the company was sold, and the last 5 years that I was there, I had a different boss every year.
Wow.
So it came much more into play when you have somebody that you're working with that doesn't know who you are and what you do.
Big difference.
Which is typical, you know, when you buy and sell a company.
Big difference.
And that one of the reasons I left is that because I know what I'm here for. I know what my purpose is, and I have a passion for it. And I did not want to be, I didn't want to be handcuffed.
That's a big statement, what you just said, because, yeah, and and you know, woman to woman, you know, you're speaking my language because in my own stomach, I sit there and I think, oh my God, do I jump? Do I jump? Do I do this? Do I jump? Oh my God. But you know, you ultimately, you know, describe what it takes, you know, to make that next step, you know, and you have to want that, you know, and heart of all hearts, you know, that your job is to create the next generation of songwriters.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know that to my core.
It's
interesting because at Warner Chappell or any of the companies I work with, I mean, you couldn't see me. You couldn't get to me unless you had a tape, a CD, a digital, you know, download of something that was fantastic or good enough that could get you in the door.
Sure.
So you just couldn't call me up and see me. There had to be an introduction. There had to be, you know, I didn't have time. Once I saw you, you had to be important.
Right.
Well, so nowadays, because of the music business changing so much, I mean, before, you know, it was you had to have a record company or you couldn't put out a record.
Right.
Now you don't need them. You can do it by yourself. So the whole music industry has become our whole universe. I mean, anybody can have a hit. My mother could write a song for Grey's Anatomy and have a hit with it. She don't care how old she is.
Right.
You know, the opportunities are endless, you know. I advised a woman who was, you know, at like 50, 60 years old, and she just really wanted to get back into it. And it was like, okay, well, then go rent a place and go get a piano player and rehearse 5 or 6, 7 songs, whatever you want to do. Create a little show and invite your friends and go do it. Who's stopping you?
Right.
Who is stopping you from? You're not going to go out and have Britney Spears' career, but it doesn't mean that you can't go out and you can't write songs and you can't go out and enjoy it.
And have fun with it.
That's just what they want to do. Now, most of the kids that I see, you know, are very serious about you know where they want to take it. But again, you have all those. You know, again, I have quite a few people in their 50s and 60s who, you know, after so long, who gave it up, want to go back and do it. They have the time now.
They have the time.
God bless them.
What do you do? So what do you do when those kids come up? And you know what I'm talking about.
50 or 60-year-old?
No. Oh. They're kids, too. But no, they're all kids. What do you do when the young ones, you know, and the fresh ones come up and they've got rock star eyes? And they know that, you know, that immediately that things are supposed to magically happen like tomorrow.
Well, I'm in an interesting position.
Hmm.
I mean, I come across them a lot. And what happens is either they have that at the first day of my retreats, and by the end of them, they've changed their mind.
Ah.
Because
nice.
I've changed how they felt about something.
Nice.
I change their minds unless I change how they feel. And when they get off the bus and they have this, okay, show me what you got, you know, type thing.
And
I do. And they have now a map and they feel so much more confidence about where they're going and what they're doing. That's how I deal with it. But again, as I say, you have to pay to see me. You have to either pay for a consultancy or pay for a retreat, pay for a book. You have to pay in some way, you know. And so I've had a few clients who come in here and pay for a consultation.
Sure.
And I give them the lay of the land of what it's going to take. And there's a couple of them that you never see again because they think that it's just going to happen overnight or that they think that they're going to get discovered or they don't have to work that hard. And it's like, okay, bye.
I can't do anything
about that.
Mm-mm.
I can't. I don't even try.
That's and I'm glad you said
unless
that.
Unless they're paying, unless they want to. Unless you know what I'm saying. It's like, yeah.
Unless they want to.
You know,
it's funny. And yes, the industry is a lot different now, you know, than it was, you know, 30 years ago. And yes, and of course, ultimately, this, you know, what we do here, you know, we support, you know, as far as, you know, the unsigned and the indies, you know, anybody that's as far as indies and things like that, you know, because of, and it's not just making a record, getting a record deal and going on tour anymore. I mean, there's so many things that you do for the sync opportunities to, you know, like you said, you know, TV, you know, video games, they need music, you know, everybody needs something, you know, in order to be entertained. Now, with that being said, you know, Judy, it, people like you, though, and I use this example. This was like over the holidays, and sometimes you get tagged in Facebook, right? And everybody's like, post a bunch of videos that were, from the 80s, or post some stuff that that reminds you of something or whatever. And I actually had like 3 or 4 days that I was not extremely, up to my eyeballs and stuff. And it was because a friend did this to me. I thought, I'm gonna play along for a second, and so I started, throwing up some songs. But instead of just throwing it up there, what I was doing was I was finding out the background about the song, because I like everybody to kind of learn about the song,
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out that like out of like all like 5 or 10 of the songs that I had thrown up, it was like only 3 to 4 songwriters that were responsible for all of those songs. And you see where I'm going with this. And it didn't matter if that, it could have been Heart, it could have been Bonnie Tyler, it could have been Meatloaf, mm-hmm. it could have been, and you probably already know who I'm talking about. But, and for those of you who are not, I was talking about Jim Steinman.
Right.
It's funny because there is something very special about what you do. And I love that in the beginning of this conversation that you stated that you want to go back to the beginning, and the beginning is ultimately writing a song. There's a certain talent about being able to write music and understanding who it fits and who it belongs mm-hmm. to and who should get that. You create a song, or somebody writes a song, and they may not be the ones that necessarily perform it. I hear music all the time, and I'm like, and the person who wrote it and created it, they wind up, performing it. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a great song, but that's not for you. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's for somebody else.
Right.
How do you know that when you hear a song, how do you know how to place that?
I think that's just a muscle that has just been exercised for so long. I mean, at Arista Music, when I first got there, we didn't have, I think we had one songwriter signed to the company. So it was basically catalog, and there was only 6,000 songs, and you learned to go through those songs and, could it go pop? Could it go country? Could it go R&B? So you listened over and over again, and I listened with the people that I worked with, and everybody had their different ideas, and it was just a matter of really getting into the songs and hearing, that's got a bass line. The R&B song, the bass line in country and R&B is very close. So there was a lot of R&B songs that I would take down to Nashville and pitch. And it is a gut feeling, but you just, like I said, after listening to demos for so long, I know more demos than I probably know, recorded songs.
Wow.
Songs
that,
wow. And it's also you work off of the person that you're pitching to.
I got you.
So that's really important. I had a wonderful meeting with Kelly Clarkson, it was before I left Warner Chappell, so it was 9 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in and, the whole thing, she was going to come in, she had time, she was going to listen to 4 songs, and that was it. And she came in and she had listened to 20. She was there for an hour and a half. And it's just feeding off of her. It's the questions of, what interests her and what she wants to talk about and who she listens to and all of that. And she ended up standing behind me as I was in my computer going through it. And she would, look through a title, and she'd be like, oh, play that one. I like that title. You get a rapport with the person, and you find out. I have a one other quick little story. Is that,
no, you're fine, honey. We're good.
When I was pitching to Wynonna for her first solo album, this was 20, 30 years ago, she had everybody in every half an hour. All the publishers came in, so everybody was pitching for country. And I had a few unreleased Sheryl Crow songs in my little bag, and nobody had ever heard of them.
Sneaky.
Sheryl's album had not come out yet. And played her a song, and she just went crazy, and she cut it right there. It was wonderful.
Wow.
Because she cut the song before Cheryl was Cheryl. And it was such a great, the validation was, Cheryl was over the moon. Because,
wow.
Again, it was somebody who didn't really know her, just loved the song.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's important. The thing, I go back to, and of course, obviously, this dictates my age and stuff too, growing up and stuff. My favorite artist, my favorite singer, was always Ann Wilson,
Ah, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, when I was, when I was, 6 and 7 and, the album, comes out and, I made my mom, go get me the haircut. I had the same haircut and same bell bottom. I had it all, man. Bell bottoms, whole vest and everything is cool. I still have a picture.
You need to put a picture of you and Ann from that time up on Throwback Thursday.
Ah, see, perfect. Perfect.
There you go. I want to see you side by side.
Side by side. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that for this coming Thursday, man. I'll tag you in. Absolutely. But I, you know, and it was, and I was always, you know, kind of, you know, so inspired and stuff. And one of the things, you know, that, you know, their first album and everything came out, and yes, you know, it was getting traction and everything was all cool. But once songwriters, once those songwriters, you know, got a hold of them, you know, literally, and you know, pitched and put them with, you know, certain music, and certain, you know, and certain, you know, lyrics and stuff like that, you know, stuff catapulted for them. And so, you know, and it's one of those, I worry about my indie artists, you know, and I worry, and like they're my babies. I worry about them, you know, because they get, you know, if I write it, I perform it, it's mine, you know, and it's kind of one of those things where sometimes it's okay to perform, and it's okay to perform something from, that somebody else has written, because it may be just suited for you. And there's a huge difference in that. The industry now, everybody, yes, you don't need labels, you don't need this, you don't need that. You still need songwriters, you still need managers, you still need people directing your careers.
You still need a team.
You still need a team.
You need a team. It takes a village to raise a child, and you need a team. The record companies provide an in-house team. When you do an independent, you have to build your own team, create your own team.
Pretty much. So, I mean, you know, basically, as far as, you know...
You're going to need, you know, somebody to do social media, marketing, you know, distribution, tour, all that stuff. And it, for you, for a lot of them, it's, that's you right now. You're doing everything, you know. And then when you can afford somebody, you start going, oh, I'm going to give somebody to do my social media for me. I'm going to pay them $15 an hour once a week, you know.
And that's what they're going to do, and that's what will happen and stuff
and
like that.
That's what you start with, yeah.
I tell everybody when I do stuff, you know, when I have the time, and if it's just me and I'm talking, you know, and I find stuff to talk about and stuff, and, you know, my thing is hashtag is like your band is your brand, and your brand is your business. That's what I say, everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, and a lot of people, you know, looking at it as far as in the business, you know, and this goes back to the ones that you know, I don't want to take away their opportunity and their time, you know, to be creative and stuff. But when you're in charge of your whole destiny, and you've got to make it work from front to back, you have to know this business. Otherwise.
Oh, absolutely.
Otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not.
And if you don't, then it's your own fault. That your lawyer takes advantage, and or you know, whatever happens.
Mm-hmm. That's the deal. That's the deal. Now for you, so you started the Judy Stackey Company, and yeah, this now, and I love it because you know you started, and you're like, now what? So you put it all together. You decided that you know that you're going to continue on your quest, you know, to make sure that you develop the next generation of songwriters and things like that. You know, ultimately, you know, putting it out there, this kind of took you out of corporate America, corporate world, where you were you were untouchable and nobody could get to you, to now you are completely accessible.
Right.
How did that change you?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
How did it change me? Wow, I'm not sure how to answer that.
Okay, well, what was different? I mean, what did you feel like, you know, as far as, you know...
What changed me is that I could do a lot of different things.
I got you.
I didn't leave Warner Chappell and stay a publisher. I didn't sign a writer and start pitching them and start doing that. I didn't continue with my normal job.
I got you.
Okay, with what I'd been doing for 30 years. Because basically, I was a song plugger. Basically, I signed writers... And then I had to get their songs to Faith Hill and to Britney Spears so that they would cut them and we'd all make money. I mean, that was the nuts and bolts of it.
Right.
So when I left and hung my shingle, it was like, well, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I kind of set up a little structure. The first job I got was helping a band. And I consulted with them for a couple months. They had just come together. They were very young and they didn't quite know how to... And so we would meet, and I would guide them and questions and have given them homework and do all that. And I did that, and I started setting up workshops and out of my house and started teaching and developing my own methodology. What I had to do, what changed the most, is that I knew exactly who I was at Warner Chappell and within the corporate music industry, okay?
Right.
I mean, I could recite, do a deal, you know, tell you anything from that perspective.
Right.
Well, I got out and had to start my own, and I'm the boss. All of a sudden, it's like a whole different perspective.
And
I knew how to write a contract from the Warner Chappell standpoint, but to write it from my standpoint, I called my business consultant. I said, just help me get going.
What do I do?
Like, I have Warner Chappell all like in my head, and I can't get it out. And so, you know, she was great. She was like, da, 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 da. And I was like, got it. But it was a switch and a different perspective. And I consulted and I built these workshops, and then all of a sudden I found a client. I found a young woman in a club named Ray Lynn. Wow. And I got her on The Voice, and she didn't win The Voice, but she became very good friends with Blake and Miranda, and got her a deal on Big Machine, and she actually just switched to Warner Brothers, but she has her first single out, and I managed her for the first couple of years and developed her.
Nice.
And now she's with Winona Judd's manager, actually, down in Nashville.
Nice.
But I loved doing that. I loved discovering somebody who you know, she was 16 and a half years old. She had written half a song, and it was like, come here. You're talented. Come here.
Gotcha. Before somebody else tarnishes you, come here.
Right. Right, exactly.
Right.
And then after 2 years, you know, I was like, I'm not moving to Nashville. And so she went with Winona Judd's manager, and I started doing retreats, and I wrote a book. And so it's just, I never know where it's going to take me. I just keep planting seeds and see where they land.
And see what happens.
My latest seed is that I'm doing a TED Talk in May in Paris, a TED Talk X.
Okay. How cool.
And I'm going to be talking about the benefits of teaching children songwriting.
Now, see, that's amazing. That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. It's a skill that I came to realize that all my songwriters, oh my God, they became such great communicators.
You've done a lot of things, and for those of you who've tuned in, I'm talking to Miss Judy Stacking, an amazing, amazing songwriter extraordinaire. You've done a lot of things, and it takes you a lot of places. You've gone all over the world, you know, with some of your retreats and some of the programs and stuff that you've done. And one of the things that keeps coming up, you know, when I read and I was trying to find out more about, you know, what you've done and what you do, is that everybody keeps referring to your thing as a certain, you know, methodology. You have a certain thing that you do.
I wrote my own methodology.
That you do that nobody else does.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was, and
yay.
It's, yeah, and that's, you know, because it's a claim, sister. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking about, yeah, universities are trying to, you know, snack in on this. Educational facilities are snacking in on this. Obviously, you're being, you know, requested to go to Paris to snack in on some of this. You know, how is it that, you know, what is it that you're doing that's so different than everybody else?
What I discovered, all right, was that there was a lack of language when speaking to artists and writers from the whole community.
Nice.
Okay? So if you've all seen the Katy Perry story and her documentary and all that.
She was in my head. I'm glad you brought her up. She was in my head, too. Good.
One of the things that, I mean, let's just, Katy, unbelievable songwriter from the very moment she decided to do it.
Wow.
She, like Cheryl, like, they didn't need really any guidance in the songwriting department, okay? But
okay.
She was with a label, and she would go in and play her songs, and she was told, it's not a hit. Go away. It's not a single. Go away. It's not a hit. Go away. It's not a, and this, there's, that's the language that was used.
Mm.
So there, what does that mean? What does that mean when someone says it's not a hit? I don't hear a single here. Well, do you not like the lyrics, the music, the rhythm? What don't you like?
Right.
And a lot of A&R people didn't have the language to be able to communicate to their artists to say, this is what it is. They just knew that there was something that was off, that something wasn't there, okay? But they couldn't tell them. And so you have people like Katy who just spent a lot of time just with her, you know, going around in circles, trying to figure this out.
Wow!
Until she figured it out, and she did very, very soon, very quickly.
Yes.
But that's from those experiences. That's where when I started my own company, I sat down and went, okay, I need to be able to teach this. I need to be able to give, you know, writers some kind of a structure or something that they can go by, so that they're not lost in the woods. I mean, an architect has to go to school. A cook has to go to school. A songwriter just has to show up at the door and go, I play guitar and I write poems.
Right.
I'm an artist. And it's like, okay.
What do
I
do?
I felt like I needed to give some kind of foundation for them. And so what I came up with is really simple. It's based on two questions, my methodology.
Okay.
It's based on the question of what is a song and how do you develop yourself? A song is your voice, your melody, and your lyrics. So if you're going to write songs for the rest of your life, then you have to put a process in place in your life for the rest of your life for your voice, your melody, and your lyrics. Meaning,
perfect.
Take voice lessons, have voice exercises. Even if you don't write for, even if you're not an artist and you're writing for other people, you still need to take care of your voice. You still need to be able to sing in order to write. Your melodies, those are your emotions, and your lyrics, those are your words. In order for those three things to be the best that they can be, and for you to be the best that you can be, you're going to have to develop something in your body, your mind, and your soul.
Wow.
So that's where my methodology comes in, is because I pay attention to every single one of my clients' body, mind, and soul. If you're sick all the time, if you've got back problems, if you can't show up, and your voice doesn't exist without your body. So if your body's not in great shape, we got to start there. Because I can't build you a career if you're not taking care of yourself.
That's it.
Second thing is we start with the body, we go to the voice. All right, how strong is your voice? What are you doing for your voice? Your lyrics and your mind I put together because your mind is a computer and lyrics are words. You have to know how to tell a story. So
there it is.
What kind of research do you need to do? And what kind of classes? What kind of homework? What kind of lyrical journal exercises do you have to do in order to figure out how to write a story? And your melody and your soul we put together in that. Your melody are your emotions. They're how you're feeling. And that's what your soul is. Your soul is who you are and what you're going through and what you want and what you do and how you're feeling. And that's what the melody reflects. So if you're just feeling okay all the time, then your melodies are going to be just okay. So it's about digging deep and knowing what you're feeling and what you're going through. And are you a little jealous? Are you a little anxious? What's going on with you?
What's going on? It's funny you bring up the storytelling thing. You noticed like on social media, like on Instagram and everybody, it's like this whole new, it's this storyteller, you know, tell your story. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks that this is a new thing. And, you know, and this is like, oh, and it's like, this is not new.
We think that prostitution is the oldest profession in the world. Storytelling is the oldest.
Storytelling is the oldest one, you know?
Absolutely. And when you think about it, I mean, there was nothing here on this planet, okay? And then we have settlers, all right? And so, but the settlers are like hundreds of miles from each other. So somebody decides to go out one day and get on their horse and go and see if there's anybody else, any life out there. And you come across another village. Well, the first thing you do is you tell stories. That's how you mm-hmm. navigate your life and how you create your life. And it's like, guess what happened over? Let me tell you what we're doing over there.
Right.
And then they tell you stories of what they're doing. And then you bring back the stories. And so we create our lives.
That's the way it's supposed
to be. Our stories give our lives meaning. So if you're not a great storyteller, then you're not going to have the advantage. That's all.
And that's
not like you're not going to have, I'm not saying you're not going to have a great life and you're not going to get what you want. But there's a certain advantage to be able to telling a story.
See, that's a big deal. That's a big thing right there.
Yeah.
You have a, and some of the stuff I was looking at too, you are very encouraging. And obviously because you talk about your songwriting, you know, retreats and you talk about, you know, the camps and things like that. And even mm-hmm. some of the stuff that you got to even participate in yourself. But you you put on the forefront co-write. That everybody mm-hmm. should co-write, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, everybody should collaborate and everybody should co-write, you know, and I guess the reason why it stuck out to me so much is that because there's an instance of where everybody feels like they have to be just all on their own, me, and it's mine. And so this was obviously an attribute that you wanted to bring out and a reason.
Oh, yeah. Everything's about a relationship in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you have a relationship with your parents and your significant other and your cleaners and your, you know, your dry cleaning. I mean, that's the same thing, you know, cleaners, your market plate. You know, you're having a relationship and everything is about a relationship. So when you're in a co-write, it's a wonderful way to learn how to be in a relationship, especially
right.
when you're younger.
Right.
You know, it's how do you get together with another person and create something? I mean, you have it. You have a goal. Each of you have an assignment. You're in there to create something out of thin air. And you create it by sharing, by relating, by communicating. That's
right.
The only way you are going to do that.
Right.
And what's interesting is that when I do these co-writes on the retreats and in my workshops and anywhere, is that I'm a fly on the wall. So I go in and I'm monitoring and I'm you know, experiencing the co-write so that afterwards, I can take each of them aside and say, all right, let's talk about that. I noticed that, you know, your co-writer kept coming up with the ideas that you didn't like, but I know you didn't like them. I could tell because I wasn't crazy about them.
Right.
But you didn't say anything. Why didn't you say anything? Well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings.
Mm.
And how would you have hurt their feelings? You know, so I take them through, like, okay, walk me through that. Were you going to yell at them? Were you going to call her a bitch? Like, why were you going to hurt her? Like, how would you have hurt her feelings?
Right.
Well, no, I would have just, I say, so why do you know, so you take them through the process of showing them that it's okay. You can go in there and say, oh, you know what? I really got four ideas right off the bat. You're just full of them. I'm not sure I'm crazy about any of them. I have an idea I'd like to run by before we maybe pick one of those.
Right.
You go into it. You settle into it. You give a compliment. So I show them how it's done, and then they go back the next day or the next time they're in there, and all of a sudden they're able to communicate a little better. Because you go in there and you say, it's okay. You can tell them they were wrong. You can tell them they were bad. You can't yell at them, and you can't say that they stink, but you don't have to like all their ideas.
Nice.
Or if somebody's bullying you, you know, if somebody's, well, I want to do it this way, and I want to do it that way, and it's not listening to you, it's like you're going to have to be able to say, hold on here, just a second.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can't work together on something and make this work.
Right.
Now, cool thing about what you also do, and I noticed that you actually do through your website and stuff, you also do a consultations and stuff where if I wrote a song, and I just all I wanted to do was just send you my one song.
Oh, your critique.
Mm-hmm,
one song critique.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm going to package it up and I'm going to send it to you. And then you're going to spend X amount of time and you're going to actually just do some critiques. And it's quick. I mean, what's your process when you do this?
The process is that I do it on the phone. I refuse to write you a critique because it takes me too long to get everything right. My wording right and the spelling right. Forget it. So it's the best value probably of what I do. Because I give you anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes of a critique. Now, I don't go into, you know, coaching you and guiding you. It's all about that song.
Perfect.
And it's, you know, they've got a lyric sheet written out, and I start by saying, what motivated you to write the song? First thing I ask everyone, and they tell me, and we go from there.
I got you. That's perfect. Now, the songwriting retreats, you've got one coming up next week.
Oh God, yes! I'm leaving a week from Monday. I've got two. I had one that I announced in California, up in the Sequoias, which I've not been. This is the first time, excuse me, that we're going up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold out of it, and so I had to add a second week.
Oh, perfect!
Which was fantastic. We had over 100 and some applications. And then in April, I'm in France, in Normandy, and I think we only have. I think two more spots left on that one.
Wow.
And then in July, I'm in Canada, outside of Vancouver. And then in the first week of November, I'm in Tennessee, Pigeon Forge, which is a couple hours outside of Nashville.
Okay. You know, you set up these retreats, and it sounds simply like, you know, it sounds like one of those spa vacations, you know, like we're gonna have like cucumbers in our eyeballs, and we're gonna like, you know, we're gonna have like some really cool, you know, kind of stuff, you know, playing
funny
in the background, and you know, some aromatherapy and stuff, and then we're gonna draw out this energy out of you, and all of a sudden you're gonna spit out a song on paper. That's this visual that I get.
Okay.
But I know there's more to it than that.
In your dreams, yeah.
So you get these retreats, you get all of these people together and stuff. I mean, what's the process of how your retreat goes?
The retreats are really a 3D version of my book.
Okay.
And my methodology is that we meet on we either start our Sunday, like this time we're starting on a Monday night. So we all get there Monday afternoon. We have a big dinner. I take them through what they're going to learn. We, you know, everybody gets to know each other. We play music. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all three of those days, we start in with body, mind, and soul. So we do yoga every single morning.
Good for you.
There's a vocal session. There is lectures from me every morning and homework and exercises and videos and just for me to be teaching what they need to know. There's co-writing sessions, like I said, where I am, you know, I'm in there monitoring and experiencing them so I can later on guide and navigate them. I bring in a guest. We do a Skype call with some big songwriter who I've had David Hodges, I've had Shelley Piken, I had Wayne Kirkpatrick last time.
Nice.
That will come in and be our guest. We do they do a show every night. They do like an in the round, and all the food like it goes down to all the food that I serve is, if it's not organic, it's the next best thing, and it's as vegetarian and healthy and just really to show them how they have to eat. I mean, if you're going to have this career, you're going to have to do something for your body. You're going to have to take care of your health. You're going to have to take care of so many different things. So the whole thing is layered upon layered of body, mind, and soul.
Wow.
And how do you take care of your voice, your melody, and your lyrics? And it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
That sounds, I want to go now. I'm like, dude. it sounds really, I don't even songwrite. And I can't.
We're planning to do one for anyone that is beginning, who wants to learn, who doesn't have. The thing about the reason we do the application process is that I'm teaching right now, I'm looking for writers that have a working knowledge of what is going on, that they can put a song together, that they can demo it, that they can present themselves, that they know, you know, there's a, so I don't have to really teach that,
mm-hmm.
like beginners, but I do plan to have a retreat for beginners.
Okay, so that would be interesting, because think about it. I mean, what I do, you know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. and ultimately, again, you know, we've got this on your radio station. We're also a recording facility and production facility.
Mm.
Yeah, I do that too.
Wow.
Yeah, I just started that too. Yeah, and so, you know, and I work, you know, I actually get to work with some very cool people, you know, as mm-hmm. far as, you know, in this area, and people that actually get to come through here. And it's all, you know, that leg of our companies and stuff is really just getting a leg up. And, you know, and we have, you know, so much stuff that comes through. And it's, for somebody like me, you know, again, it's that, you know, how do you know it's a hit? Right. And so, you know, so I see, you know, and if you haven't figured it out, I'm one of those, it's food for thought. I'm always digging. I'm down rabbit holes. I'm always reading. I'm trying to figure out what is somebody, I tried to figure out, and you just told me, so now I know, and it's something I'm probably going to start trying to adopt. I've tried to figure out what you eat. You know what I mean? If you're successful, I'm going to figure out what it is that you eat. You know, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, you know, what's your favorite color? What do you eat? You know, what are you, how many hours are you sleeping? You know, it's one of those. Are you standing on your left leg longer than your right? If so, you know, then I'm learning reflexology, because I know that if you stand in that one point, the liver gets affected a lot. So moving around. Yeah, I'm one of those, you know, I'm one of those. And so, you know, being able to have that opportunity, It's not necessarily that I myself would want to sit down and be a songwriter. And I say that now, and after the retreat, I'd be like, man, I want to be a songwriter. You know, at the same token, to be able to, it's no more different than you doing the other things that you've done. It's no more different than to understand the process or understand what it is that you're looking at.
And this is why I want to teach kids the songwriting to songwrite, is it the communication. You learn tips and tools about communicating that you don't learn other places.
Same.
You know, it's different than math, history, you know, the usual subjects. This is a platform for you to discuss how you're feeling, for you to process your emotions, for you to, like, sit and talk with other people and go, really? Wow, I've been married for a long time, but I've never come across that. That's interesting. We have not had that problem in our marriage. Tell me more about it. You know, how did you deal with it? And it becomes like, oh, group therapy. But we don't take, I also see that we don't take the time to do that. My co-writing experience, that I go every Tuesday night and I work with a couple, and we work a certain amount of time, we have dinner, we work, we have goals and all that. But boy, we talk about everything now.
Uh-huh.
We get into everything. And the way they talk in front of me now is they don't hold anything back. There's no one like, oh, we can't talk about that. That's not part, you know, we have to hide that.
That's not business. That's not.
Yeah, it's just that we're so open with each other because we're now comfortable in the process, which makes it more comfortable when you're talking to anybody. Like I said, when a kid says, well, I didn't tell them that I didn't like it because I didn't want to hurt their feeling. Well, as soon as you know that it's okay to do that and you're not going to be hurting their feeling and this is the way you do it, that's a form of communication that will help you in everything. When all of a sudden, you know, your sister comes up to you the next day and goes, well, we're going to do this. Wait, hold on. I'm not sure I like doing that. Can we talk about that for a minute? Well, you've never done that before. You've just gone along with her.
And
so
you've just
all those kinds of things help in everyday life. But where else are you going to learn that?
Where else? Where else would you? And see,
there you go.
Now, okay, so I figured out that, you know, you do actually make some trips to Nashville and stuff too.
I do.
And there's a thing with you there, because one of the things that you did when you were just setting up camp and stuff like that, you actually, you know, between corporate world and in your world and things like that, you came to Nashville. You came to Tennessee. You know,
I have two major regrets in my life. They're not holding me back by any means. But one of them is not having biological children myself. I had so many songwriters all my life that I had no, it was like, are you kidding me? I have 24 songwriters who were like at me all the time.
Right.
And the second thing was not buying property in Nashville when I could have for like nothing.
You should have.
You know, 30 years ago.
You should have.
So I love Nashville and spent most of my, I spent my time here in LA and part-time in Nashville. I mean, there were times when I was there once a month for every year, you know.
And is there something about Nashville, you know, that had something for you as far as, you know, musically?
Just the songs and the storyteller and the respect of the songwriter, the respect of the publisher. The songwriters, they were all in one place. It was like going to a campus. It was wonderful. I mean, pop music, when I was really into pop music, like I said, I was in the music industry when it was all in one place. It was wonderful, but... You know, there was pop music, there was R&B music, there was rock music, there was a lot. When I first started coming up in the business, I represented a couple of Nashville writers, like J.P. Pennington, Sonny LeMayer. They were part of a group called Exile. And so I started pitching songs down there, and I just fell in love with it. I just did.
Wow. So then,
yeah,
so you'll always,
music
and, so you'll always have an opportunity, and then you'll always try to make your way back around and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I left Warner Chappell, I had 11 of my writers living there. Kevin Kadish, who was my writer for 11 years, was in Dolly Parton's first house that she bought there. And he just had Meghan Trainor's big hit.
Oh, my God.
All About the Bass. He wrote the first album with her.
How cool is that?
He lives there, you know? I mean, she does too now. But yeah, Michelle Branch lived down there for a while. Tyler Hinton, mm-hmm. Sheryl Crow lives down there.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, this was an easy fishing hole.
Yeah, oh, totally. And again, you know, they got up and they went from 10 to 6. That was it. They went home. They had lives. And it was like, well, this is the way you should be. You know, this is having a good life. There was a balance. That's what I loved about it. There was a big balance.
Wow.
And that's what I'm really proud of my songwriters that, you know, that they've been with me for, you know, that they're not signed to me anymore, but like Kevin Kata, she's married with kids, and Jamie Houston married with kids. They have lives. They don't just have the careers. They're not, you know, they have lives that have been set up that they're balanced, and they're all pretty happy these days.
Well, I've learned a lot from you, and a lot of it I've learned is that I need to get my life in order. I need to get I'm gonna get my life in order. I'm going on a diet Monday. I'm ditching meat and dairy. I'm also going to start taking vocal lessons again. You know, because it's been a very, very long time since I've taken some vocal lessons, and I used to do that, you know, on a regular basis. There's a couple of other things, you know, cleaning out some space and some time, and you know, and building a team. And I learned so much from you.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad. Thank you.
Now, for those, I want to thank you, you know, Judy, you've spent so much time with us here at Radio Memphis. I want you to know that if there was anything that I could ever do for you, or you've got something coming up, I mean, obviously I'm going to be, you know, following you, stalking you, and figuring out where you're at. And, you know, just so you know. And you know, if you're ever, you know, near the area and you're in Memphis, we'd love for you to come down to the studio. We've got, you know, indie music lives here. Indie artists live here. We also, you know, got fantastic, you know, very genre specific shows. You know, one of the shows that we actually today, it's funny because this show is all genres and I play music all around the world. But I've got some blues cats that are coming in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you know. And so they're going to be doing some live stuff, you know, as far as in studio and things like that. And we're like, you know, we're the walking door where, you know, people come in and they come get their happy here, you know, because it's a happy place. And so anytime that you're around, we'd love for you to have, we'd love it if you'd come down here and come hang out.
I go and do workshops everywhere. And just to put it out there, I can always come to Memphis. You know, if your community, mm-hmm. You know, wanted it, and you know, there was, I mean, I can come in and do a weekend workshop.
You know, that would be kind of cool. That may be something I have to put my brain to and stuff.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you got my email. Of course, you got my number in the email and stuff. See, we're already talking business, and you guys don't even know it. And we're back and forth and stuff. No, I'm going to keep up with you. I am definitely going to keep up with you because all of a sudden, a lot of bells just went off in my head.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. If everybody needs to find you, obviously, I went through judystackey.com.
That's all you have to do.
I found you.
Everything.
And you got back to me so quickly. Thank you for being so accessible. Thank you for all of your knowledge and your stories and stuff. I could talk to you all afternoon, and it would be because I'm still learning stuff. And
we could go coffee to lunch.
I know.
Yes,
absolutely. We need to do that. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thank you so much. And really, thank you for introducing me to your community, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
And all the help that you are giving with this platform to all the unsigned and the people that the artists that want to become who they want to become.
Perfect. Well, I'll tell you what, sister, we're going to keep in touch. You'll hear from me, okay?
Wonderful. All right. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.